In Matthew chapter 13, it says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And so on and so forth. For the sake of time, I don't want to read the entire parable here, but I trust you're very familiar with it, the parable of the sower of the seed. But do take note that it said that in verse 3, he spake many things to this great multitude of people that were standing and were seated there on the seashore, and he is just off of the shore in a ship, and he's speaking to them, and it says he spake many things to them in parables. And so he gives the parable of the sower of the seed. And in verse 9, he says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And I think that's a good question. I mean, if I would have been there present and been a follower of Jesus, I very likely would have wanted to ask the same question. Why is it, Jesus, that you are always speaking to the multitudes in parables? You know, somebody asked me that question years ago one time, and I think I answered something along the lines of, because, well, Jesus always liked to explain his doctrine and his thoughts with little simple examples that were very practical and that you and I and everyone could easily understand. Well, yes and no. That might be one reason, but there's a more important reason that I think is more biblical than that. Let's read on. They ask him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered, and he said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I, to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which is Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Well, they asked Jesus, "Why is it that you're always speaking in parables?" And that's what he did. Over and over, he consistently, that was his habit, and that was his practice. When he spoke to great numbers of people, he very often used these parables. And of course, the Gospels are full of them, that they're recorded for us, and I'm so thankful that they are. But you know, the very disciples that were closest to Jesus wanted to know why it was that he spake in parables. And so Jesus plainly told them, he says, "Because unto you the blessing is given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Friends, you and I fall under that blessing this morning. The kingdom of God, of God's people, we are the ones that are receiving the blessing of reading God's word. You know, Brother Rick was speaking about this book is truth. And it is. This book is full of truth, and God has preserved it for us and for his people for the benefit of you and I. And you know what? Guess what? This morning, if we don't ever read it, we can't get the benefit of much of it. And I'm afraid that there's a large number of the Lord's children here in this world that are forsaking much of the benefit of God's world, word because they have not read it. They have not sought to seek it out and to read it and to meditate on it and to for it to find a lodging place in their heart. They've not done those things. But Jesus says, unto you it's given. But he says, but unto them it's not given. Therefore, I speak in parables. I'm doing it on purpose. So they're hearing with their natural ears, they're seeing with their natural eyes, but there's no hearing and there's no sight and there's no understanding in their heart. And, you know, someone might say, someone today, I could think of a lot of people today that might be of the opinion, well, you know, if that were really the case, that's not really fair. It should be fair for everyone to have an opportunity to hear these things and to understand them and to know them and for to benefit from them. Well, if you were someone who felt like that, all I could do is to offer that you would just have to take that up with the Lord. I wouldn't know what else to tell you. Take it up with God because he's the one that said it. He said, it's given unto you. Who's the you? That's his disciples. His close followers, those seeking after him. He says, it's given to you to know these things, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And friends, they truly are mysteries. The things that you and I know and understand about our Lord and Savior and about salvation this morning are mysteries unto many in the world today. But unto you and I, it's been given on purpose. And it's been hid from others on purpose. Jesus said that. They wanted to know. He says, if it were not hid from them, and they really could hear these things, and they really saw and understood the meaning of the parable of the sower, you know, Jesus goes on to explain it in great detail. I love this. We don't have time. That's really not my subject this morning. But Jesus explains the parable of the sower in great detail and goes on to teach about how important it is that you and I cultivate the soil of our bodies and our life that we've been given by God in order that when the word of God falls upon us and falls upon our ears, that we can hear it and grow it and cultivate it and produce much fruit. And he says there's many conditions that you and I can control and have an effect on in our lives that could diminish the growing of much fruit. And it's a wonderful parable. But you know, to a lot of those people in the audience, they didn't get it. They didn't have a clue what it meant. Even Jesus' own disciples came and asked him about many of these parables. He would teach in parables, and then oftentimes, how many times do you read in the scriptures where when the disciples got off alone with the Lord Jesus, they would ask him again the meaning of this parable, and he would clearly explain it to them in great detail. I just love that. But he says, if they could hear these things and see them and understand them, he said, they would be converted and they would be healed. Their lives would be changed. Well, I feel like you and I this morning, there's been much about our lives that have been healed because of the gospel that we have heard and understood. There's been many, many afflictions in our lives that the balm of Gilead has come into our heart and have healed us and has made us better because of the word of God and because God has given us ears to hear. You know, everybody in the audience of Jesus, I feel sure everyone there had natural ears and natural eyesight. That's possible there could have been a few folks there that were physically deaf, but I feel like most of them could physically hear, but yet Jesus said, in some sense, he said many of them did not hear. Their eardrums and the way their inner ear works and all, they heard the vibrations of the air being moved through the speech that was being spoken there, but he says they didn't really hear. They didn't really see it with their eyes. What is he talking about? He's talking about you and I have hearing and we have eyesight that some do not have because it's been granted to us. I like to call it, for lack of a better term, spiritual hearing, spiritual ears, and spiritual eyesight, that we're able to look in and to behold some of the mysteries of the kingdom of God through the gospel and the teaching of the doctrines of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to say, he says, it's been hid from them. He says, it's given to you, but unto them it's not given. But he says, but blessed are your eyes, in verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Many prophets, prophets of God, not false prophets, many prophets of God have desired to hear these things about salvation that Jesus was speaking of when he came in his, with his earthly ministry. In fact, Peter says that even the angels desired to look into these things concerning salvation. You see? You see, the whole subject of salvation was a great wonder to the angels, because in and of themselves, there is no salvation for a fallen angel. The Bible teaches us that. We talked about that in the last 2 weeks. So the whole subject of salvation is a great wonder to the angels of the Lord. So Jesus says, prophets, righteous men. Peter says, angels have desired to look into these things and to see them and to hear them, but they have not heard them. Why can't everyone see these things? Wouldn't it be great if everybody could? Wouldn't it be great if everyone in our country in which we live today, in which we make our home, wouldn't it be great if everybody could see these things? Wouldn't it be a better place to live? It sure would. Wouldn't it be great if every place we went in life and every place we had to go had the feeling of, oh, I'm just around church family? That'd be wonderful. Why is it not like that? Why cannot some people see these things? Well, first of all, it requires regeneration. You have to be born of God's Spirit in the new birth before you can ever receive spiritual eyesight and spiritual hearing. You see, a lot of the religious world today has it completely backwards. They try to say that if you will hear and if you will see and if you will do certain things, you can receive spiritual life. But the Bible teaches that, well, it's the other way around. The Bible says regeneration has to come first. Then we can begin to see and understand and hear some of these things with our spiritual hearing. It's by the grace of God that you and I know anything at all about what Jesus did. It's by the grace of God. You and I are so blessed today to have the entirety of the scriptures at our disposal. I mean, do you ever think about that? We have the entire Old Testament canon plus the entire New Testament at our disposal. We have it all. Jesus said, prophets, men sent from God as prophets of God, and many righteous men desired to look into these things concerning salvation. You and I have it at our fingertips because we are blessed. What did Jesus say? He said, blessed are your eyes and your ears. We're very blessed in that regard. So why is it some people, okay, so it's clear, some people cannot see and hear these things because they're not born of God's Spirit. Well, that's obvious. That makes a lot of sense. Some people are not converted because they simply can't hear. But how about others, such as Peter? How about some that are clearly born of God's Spirit, have been regenerated, have experienced a new birth, but yet are still not converted? We have a different situation there, don't we? Just very quickly, You remember in Luke 22? You remember that great scene in Luke 22 where Jesus was instituting the communion service with the bread and the wine? They were there in that upper room that night. And Jesus shared and he told them the meaning of the unleavened bread and the meaning of the wine and the representation thereof and how that they are to do this in remembrance of him. And in Luke's gospel, immediately after those things, Luke records that it says in verse 24, there was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now, I've often tried to picture that upper room, the solemnity of that moment. Jesus Christ and his 12 apostles there in the upper room observing the Passover ordinance, and then also Jesus initializing the communion service, the beginning of the communion service. The Passover service was going to be something that was no longer needing to be done because Jesus Christ himself would become our Passover lamb. And we would remember him and commemorate what he did through the communion service. Can you imagine the solemnity of that moment, what that must have felt like in that upper room? I'm talking about the last few hours of Jesus' life here on earth in his earthly ministry. And what are the apostles doing? They're talking among themselves about who's going to be the greatest. I mean, I feel like if I'd have been there, I would have been doing the same thing. That would have been me. Just complete human flesh, just a wonderful example of what they were doing. So Jesus immediately addresses that. And he goes on and to teach them how that if you're going to follow me and whoever's going to be great among you, you're going to be the greatest servant of all. Wonderful lesson taught to those apostles at that moment. And then he immediately turns to Peter. I feel like, I've often wondered, was Peter one of the ones that were arguing about who's going to be the greatest? Well, I've kind of wondered. But he immediately turns to Peter and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I think about Peter and the fact that he's been following the Lord, as the other apostle said. He has been walking and talking and eating and staying together and spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years here and during his earthly ministry. And yet, Jesus says Peter is not yet converted. What are we talking about when we use the word converted? I believe he's talking about someone being changed, someone turning their life about, and someone embracing fully and completely the beliefs and the doctrine and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what conversion means. Conversion is not regeneration. They're two separate things. Regeneration is a complete sovereign act of the Lord God and of the Holy Spirit. Conversion is something that happens to Christians and to disciples when they take up their cross and they follow their Lord in gospel obedience. That's what conversion is. But Jesus told Peter, he says, I've prayed for you, Peter. Satan has you in his sights, and I'm praying that your faith would fail not. And when you're converted, when you're fully on board, when you're fully committed, you're all in, you've made up your mind and there's no turning back, that's the place where you're able to turn and to strengthen your fellow brethren. Peter's not there yet, is he? Isn't that something? You know, every time I read that, you know what it makes me do? It doesn't make me look at Peter in any sort of a diminished light whatsoever. It makes me look at myself. I look at myself and I say, my goodness, you mean Peter has walked with the Lord? He has seen and witnessed the miracles. Peter went on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus transfigured before them. He saw and he heard the Father's voice. He saw all these things and he witnessed Jesus raising people from the dead. And yet Peter is still not converted. What hope do I ever have of being converted? Is there ever any possibility for me? Well, yes, it is. You remember what Peter's answer was when the Lord says, Peter, I prayed for you. When you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, the Lord didn't say, if you're converted. Did you notice that? The Lord said, when you're converted. He said, then you strengthen your brethren. You know, of course, you remember what Peter's answer was. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Friends, Peter meant that with all the sincerity that you could ever muster inside of someone's heart. I believe Peter meant those words. I will go with thee all the way to death, to prison and to death. Well, you know what happened? You know how a few hours later the Roman soldiers came and Jesus allowed himself to be taken captive by the Roman soldiers? You know how that later that night when they began the mock trial, you know how that one by one people would come up to Peter. Peter had kind of hung back at a distance and he had eased up next to the fire that was burning to warm himself, and he was just trying to watch what was going on, and he could see Jesus. He was close enough he could see Jesus. But he's hanging back, and one by one people begin to ask him, wait a minute, you were with him. You were a Galilean. Your speech gives you away. You're a Galilean. Surely you're one of them. And you know, two different times Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. Now, Jesus had told him, he says, you'll do that. Peter says, I'll go with you to prison and unto death. And Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me before the cock crows twice. You'll deny me three times. And he left it at that. Later on, this is happening. It says the third time that Peter denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, it says that Peter cursed and he began to swear, I do not know the man. And here in Luke's gospel, it says, and then the cock crew, and it says that Jesus turned and he looked upon Peter. I feel sure it was not a word said. It just said he looked upon Peter. And I'm quite certain it was not a look of disdain either. It's a look of love in that moment. It was a look of, Peter, I've already told you this would happen. And instantly when Peter, of course, when he realized what he did, he said Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. That old rugged fisherman. That rugged fisherman who was always first to speak up, always the impetuous one. I'm ready for action. Come on, I'll lead. Who's going to follow me? That old rugged fisherman went outside and it said he wept bitterly when he realized he had denied his Lord. Remember what Jesus said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. For the sake of time, you remember in later on after Jesus' resurrection, in John chapter 21, you're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ appears on the shoreline, and Peter and several of the other apostles had been out in a ship fishing all night, hadn't caught anything. And Jesus appears on the shore there, and they come to the shore, and of course they drag in a net full of 153 great fishes, it said, and said they drug that in. It said they all knew who it was. They didn't ask if that was Jesus. Said they all knew it was him. But remember what he did? He went straight to Peter. And I'll tell you something else too. I've often wondered this. You know, Peter denied his Lord three times, just like Jesus said he would. I've wondered, did Peter show up at the crucifixion of Jesus? You know, it doesn't say. We can't tell from the scriptures that he did. If he did, it's not recorded in the scriptures. We can tell that there were three Marys there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, her sister Mary, and then Mary Magdalene. Those three women were recorded as being standing near the cross, as was the Apostle John. I believe it's the Apostle John. I guess he's not named there, but it says the apostle that Jesus loved, or the beloved apostle. Forget how it's worded. I've always felt it's the Apostle John was standing there. And, of course, Jesus speaks to his mother and speaks to John. And we find that scene. But there's no evidence Peter was there. You ever wondered about that? There's no evidence Peter has ever came back to the cross the rest of that night when Peter went out to weep bitterly. There's no evidence that he came back for the crucifixion. But he had to live with this and his failure. But Jesus comes, and of course, three times Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? He's asking Peter, do you love me, Peter? And he gave Peter three chances to affirm his love for him. In each and every case, Jesus said, he said, feed my lambs, and then twice he said, feed my sheep. That's what you're to do. There's your charge, Peter. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. You know he didn't tell Peter to go out and to make lambs and to make sheep? Why are so many people trying to do that today when you're supposed to be feeding sheep and feeding lambs? I hope God's given me at least 1 ounce of a brain cell that I can at least understand. I'm supposed to be trying to feed God's people. That's what my charge is. And every other minister. I don't know exactly when Peter was converted, but I know this, when you get to Acts chapter 2, it's not very long after this, and you get to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, Peter was first and foremost standing up before everybody present there in Jerusalem, preaching the gospel of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as fervently as any man could ever preach it. And in fact, do you know what we read from that day forward is that Peter spent the rest of his life preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. I submit to you this morning that Peter was converted at some point. And I submit to you that by the grace of God, he strengthened a lot of brethren. He spent the rest of his life strengthening the brethren. What a good subject to consider, the subject of conversion and being converted. You know what it tells me is that regeneration is something that happens one time in our lives. We're born of God's Spirit one time, and it only takes one time because it's effective and it sticks and you never lose it. It only has to happen one time. But the subject of conversion is very, very deep and very broad. And I believe conversion is something that tends to happen over and over and over again in our Christian walk. I think there are times we're converted, and then I think there are times where our faith wavers a little bit, and then we're strengthened and we're converted again. Conversion can happen over and over, but regeneration is only once. Are you glad to know that this morning? Are we not blessed that God has told us about salvation and the things that so many prophets and righteous men and angels have desired to look into? You and I have the blessing of knowing. You and I have the explanations to many of these parables. How wonderful is that? That Jesus would do that for you and I. He says, because unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To God be all the glory. We thank you for your very kind attention. May God bless you.